Welcome to another podcast by Dr. Dennis Smith, Senior Pastor of Covenant Life Ministries. To find out more, go to lifeinfocustv.com.
The last few weeks, praying and thinking, seeking the Lord to have a word to share with the folks in Vietnam and some teaching sessions on Saturday and Sunday, and was seeking the Lord about that. And then I've been stirred about in some areas concerning the next series we're going to move in, and I thought today was going to be the day that we would begin in that series, but it'll be next Sunday we're starting a brand new series. And I can tell you in the last couple of days, and you know, God uses events and circumstances in our life, doesn't he? And you know, we need to be sensitive if he's speaking through those things or not, what he's saying. So in looking at some of the things that have transpired this last week, but not just pertaining this past week, but just pertaining to our lives, period, really felt strongly impressed to the Lord that he has a word for us today concerning his guidance, concerning learning how to hear from the Lord and follow him. This is paramount. If you learn how to do that as a believer, I mean, everything else will fall into place. Learn how to clearly, accurately hear God, to discern if it is God, and to follow him. How many of you face situations to where you had a decision to make, and you just didn't know what to do? You didn't know which way to go. And you struggled with it, and you wrestled with it, and you looked around you for all sorts of clues as to what you should be doing. How many times something happened in your life that was unexpected? And when something that you didn't, maybe had not planned or not wanted happens, and you ask the Lord, "Lord, what's going on here? What are you trying to say in this situation?" We ask ourselves, "Well, Lord, you know, this is it. Is it, Lord, is this you? Or is this just me? Or is it the devil?" And so in that process there, we oftentimes wrestle over and sometimes struggle with the desire, the need to, the questions about following God and being accurate in the steps, to being sure that we're doing what God has called us to do. So I want to take you to a very interesting passage of Scripture. In fact, part of the Scripture came up days ago in reference to seeking the Lord about this last trip to Vietnam. And when I heard this, it was kind of ironic, maybe not. Not really ironic, and not really that surprising, I don't suppose, when I heard this, because a couple of weeks ago, and maybe longer than that, I was praying, seeking the Lord, and you know how when you're doing this, sometimes your mind can wander. But then there are times when you're doing this, and it's just something comes to you, and it's not just something you thought of, but you know. It's more than that. Well, during that time, I was drawn to an account that I didn't remember exactly where it was found. It was in the book of Acts, but I didn't remember exactly which chapter it was in. But I was drawn to the account of where Paul and his team were going into a particular part of the world. And let's pick up there in Acts chapter 16. By the way, the book of Acts is all about God leading, God providing, God showing the disciples, the apostles, what to do, the Lord directing the church. And then when we pick up here in chapter 16, I begin with verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden. This is talking about Paul. It's talking about the men that were with him in this missionary journey, if you will. They had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Interesting. You see, verse 6 implies that Paul wanted to go there. He felt that that's what they should be doing. And as they began to move in that direction, because he wanted to go to Ephesus. I mean, Ephesus was a trading center, commercial center. There was all kinds of opportunities to win and to impact people's lives there. Great need there. And that he wanted to go to that part of Asia, but it says that as he was planning on going there, that the Holy Spirit, it says he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know exactly what form that took. You know, did he hear a distinct voice? Was there something else that led him to believe that? We don't know exactly, but we do know that he was absolutely sure that the Lord said, no, I don't want you to go there. Well, now the Holy Spirit, now those people in Ephesus, those people where they were going, those people were important too. God loved them too. And it's interesting to first, when we go back and look, see that God just postponed this time. They eventually went there to this area and ministered with great effectiveness on his second and third missionary journey, in fact. In verse 7, it says, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia. That's kind of the area around present-day Turkey. They were going, said, okay, we're not going to go this area. We're going to go this way. And guess what happened? It says, but the Spirit, still speaking of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit did not permit them. So, passing by Mysia or Mysia, depending upon which pronunciation you want to take, they came down to Troas. Now, what happened then? Verse 9. A vision appeared to Paul that night, a vision of a man in Macedonia who stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. This was not in Paul's plans. This is not what they expected to do. But he received a vision from God where he saw a man pleading with him and saying, come this way. Come to Macedonia and help us. And verse 10 says, now after he had seen the vision, immediately, it's important here, after he had clearly heard what he believed was a word from God, immediately, he responded quickly. Immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel there, to preach the gospel to them. As a result of going there, by the way, he connected with Lydia and her household, of course, in serving and coming to know the Lord and follow the Lord, the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, his household coming to the Lord, speaking into Thessalonica, going to Areopagus in Athens and proclaiming the word, the true and living God, and then to Corinth and spending time with Aquila and Priscilla. Valuable time. Productive time. And this is where the Lord led him to go. There's some very simple and yet I think profound, very important things for us to observe this morning. First to consider. First of all, basically we need to believe that God speaks to us today. As a follower of Christ, you need to believe that God speaks to you today. And listen. And learn to listen. In John chapter 10, the Bible says, my sheep hear or listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Psalm 37 verse 23 says, the steps of a righteous man or woman, the steps of the righteous, the godly, are ordered, are directed by the Lord. How? We hear from him. We don't have to wander around in a fog. We don't, certainly don't and should not walk around in confusion. God wants us to know that he speaks and we can hear him. In Psalm 23, first three verses, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd leads his sheep, doesn't he? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I have no need, I don't need anything. He who makes He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, still and quiet waters. He restores my soul. He renews my strength. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. In other words, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. What a wonderful promise that you and I have as believers. Now, there's different ways that God can speak to you. Different forms that can take. And this is not about hearing about some type of gimmick that if you push the right button, you're going to automatically hear God in that situation. There are steps to take that will help you become more effective listener and discerner as to hearing the Lord. But this is not just some type of magical trick. It's a process of learning how to hear accurately and discern the Lord. We cannot be passive about it, however. We don't just sit around saying, oh, when God wants to say something to me, you know, I'll hear him. This is something we need to be proactive about. He is speaking, but what about our receiver? What about our hearing? So we must stay active in our listening to him. He's always, he's always speaking into situations, but are we paying attention? He who has ears to hear, let him hear, the scripture says. In other words, it's so very important for us not to be just so passive about it, not even attempt to hear from the Lord. Just go on about life as normal. Well, how does God speak and how does he guide? We know, of course, that he speaks through his word. He speaks through the scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is inspired, God-breathed. It's given to us to help us, to correct us, to reprove us, to lead us. His word is given to us. This is the authority. When it comes to hearing from the Lord, nothing takes the place of the word of God. Everything else is to be measured by the word of God. It's true. It is your guide. It's inspired. It's God's word to you. Psalm 119 says that your word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light for my paths. Have you ever gotten up during the night? You may, you know, to go somewhere, maybe to go to the restroom or go somewhere during the night, and the lights are not on, it's totally dark. And, you know, have you ever found yourself when you wake up suddenly, and so you're a little disoriented. And so you start walking and you think you're going in one direction, but actually you're going in another. I may be the only one that's ever walked right straight into a wall, but I have an idea there are others. How important it is for us to have enough light to see, to walk. There's a lot of things. Go back to the Israelites and actually little lights or lanterns that they wore to walk and to lead them safely in dark places. But the word is our light. It shines in the situations in our life. And it guides us. So the most important way that we have to understand and follow the Lord's leading is to meditate, study his word, not just to take a glimpse at it every now and then. It's not when you get desperate about knowing, well, Lord, I just don't know what to do. And you take the Bible and you open it and you point. I've done that before. I said, Lord, I just really need to hear you. Open, look at the first verse. It's dangerous. It's a dangerous thing to do. I'll have to say that there have been some amazing times when I believe the Lord even spoke through that, but that's not the ideal situation. The Bible's not like a roulette wheel. It's something we need to continue, stay in the Word. It's about continuing. It's about meditating. It's about allowing that Word to become a regular part of our life. And as we get accustomed to having that Word fed into us, flowing in the understanding of His Word, this equips us to be better listeners, doesn't it? This helps us to be able to look at a situation and say, well, God, what are you really saying about that? Meditating in the Word, fasting and praying along with that's extremely important. The second thing we look at that will really help you in following the Lord's leading is to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Thank God we've been given the Holy Spirit. Jesus went to be with the Father. He said, I'll go to be with him. I will send a comforter, a paraclete, one to stand along beside you. He'll be a comfort to you. He'll show you which way you need to go. He'll guide you in all truth. And he does a whole lot of other things. The Holy Spirit's given to us. There is that inner leading that we have. It's something down deep inside of you. You just know that this is what God is saying. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord, or that the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. John 16, 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you in all truth. When you became a believer, that Spirit, you received the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. And God communicates with your spirit by His Spirit. We see all kinds of examples of that, particularly in the New Testament. The Spirit told Philip, you go over to that chariot, and there's an Ethiopian eunuch there that you need to share with. Over and over again, we see that the Spirit spoke and led them. God speaks to us by His Spirit, by something down deep within. And by the way, you understand that we talk about the Spirit and the mind. We are led by the Spirit, and we are to renew our mind according to the Word of God. Renew your thinking according to the Word. And sometimes we ask, well, God, I don't know where this is you. Or maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just my thoughts I'm hearing. Well, you know, we can't always trust our thoughts, can we? However, if we renew our mind in the Word, and are careful to line up with that word in our thinking, God can speak to you through your thoughts. Do you know that you actually could be thinking something with your mind? This is what God wants me to do, and it will be exactly what God wants you to do. It makes sense. It's reasonable. He lays out the plan for you. You're thinking about it and say, oh God, it just must be my thoughts. No, it may be God. But we're not to be led by our emotions or just fleeting thoughts at all. We're to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, Psalm 37 verse 4, great verses here, says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight. You just delight in Him. Lord, you're precious. You're valuable to me. I enjoy being with you. You're important to me. Lord, I delight in you. I delight in you, who you are, your will. Lord, I delight in you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, that's a wonderful verse, and much of the time we use that to say, you know, if you'll just delight the Lord will give you anything that you want. Now, we do believe the Scripture teaches that if your wants line up with His will, that you can ask, believe, and receive. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack. And so we honestly believe that God has given us this wonderful word to assure you that if you ask in faith, believe, and you ask according to His will, you shall receive. This is not just me. This is what He says. And here He says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. And we think, all right, Lord, I love you. You're important to me. I value you. I'm delighting in you, Lord. And now I thank you, Lord, you're going to give me everything my heart desires. There's truth in that. But it goes, I think, deeper, and we could take a little bit different direction looking at this verse, that when you delight yourself in the Lord, He gives you the desires. He changes your wants. He puts the right desires in you, and then you can receive them and walk in them. He speaks to us down deep on the inside by His Holy Spirit. And this is not about just having some type of emotional leading. It goes further than that. It's hard to explain. Not that your emotions are, certainly your emotions are involved, because we're created to be emotional beings. We just can't trust our emotions. That's not what drives us. We're not driven by our emotions, our feelings alone, but moved by faith. But there's something about when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And is there anyone in the house that knows what I'm talking about when I say when the Holy Spirit speaks to you? Yes. I think probably most of you do. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you or leads you or does something down on the inside of you, whether you felt it or not, every one of you came to Christ, the Holy Spirit spoke to you. He convicted you. He showed you your need for Christ. Yes, the Holy Spirit does speak. He does lead. And when the Holy Spirit speaks, it seems to carry, how can I put this? It carries a deeper sense of, a deeper weight inside of you. Deeper significance than just a thought. It's very difficult to try to put put into words. You know, another word for glory is weight. W-E-I-G-H-T, heaviness, weight. And so oftentimes when the glory of God comes upon people in situations, they fall in the very presence of the Lord. I've been in situations to where the Holy Spirit was ministering or where things were happening in such a way that God was so very present in his manifestation that it was a heaviness, but it wasn't a bad heaviness. It was a weight, a sense of his presence. The Holy Spirit, when he leads you from within, there's a weight about it. You know that it's significant, that it's important. So very important. Another thing we need to look at as far as being able to determine whether the Lord's leading or not is to know that he gives you an inner peace. He gives you an inner calm and peace in your life. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ, that inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. You understand why all these extra words is amplified Bible, but this really puts it well. It says, let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, you see, that's extremely important. Let that be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. That's what we need, isn't it? Questions are always going to arise. We need to know which way to go. We need to know what to do. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members of one body of believers, and be thankful to God always. Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The description here is one of the peace of God in your hearts is like an umpire. And as you're trying to make decisions, as you're seeking the Lord's direction, and you begin to think about going a particular way, then is there confusion or is there peace? When you just need to know what God's will is, how important it is to get to a place to where the Holy Spirit is like an umpire that says, yes, this is the way to go. And how does he say yes? He gives you a deep, abiding peace. He gives you a deep, abiding peace in a situation. It's a dangerous thing to make decisions while you're living in a volatile situation, isn't it? How many people are really messed up, maybe right after divorce? People who tried to make decisions about their job, and they made them too quickly. These type of responses are very dangerous because we're in a tumultuous state where we're kind of caught up in confusion. Maybe we're hurt. All kinds of feelings and emotions are going inside of us. We don't really quite have control of them yet. And then we try to make important decisions. Not a good thing to do. Not a good thing to do. We need to take time with this. We need to really seek God about it. We need to really get to a point through his word and through the Holy Spirit that we can allow him to settle us on the inside and bring us into a situation. Peter says, this is the way. Now go in it. Another thing we need to remember is that God uses people and circumstances to speak to us. Now, I know this is something we have to be very careful about. And I know that there are situations where, and most of us experience, where someone has come to us and said, God told me to tell you this. This is God's word to you. And the Lord can do that. The Lord oftentimes will put something in someone's heart to share with someone else. I know a question is, well, Lord, if you gave it to them, why didn't you give it to me first? Oftentimes he has. I think most of the time he's already given it to us. But when someone else speaks in their life, someone that's trusted, someone who is a believer, someone who listens to the Lord, someone who loves the Lord, someone who cares about you, when someone else comes and speaks this word to you and they're led by the Holy Spirit to do that, It's not just to give you a fresh and new word. It's to confirm something's already going on inside of you. And you'll know it when they say it. That's what I heard. That's what was going on in me. And I hear that. I see that more clearly now. So when people come and speak a word to you for you to know particular direction and things, it'll primarily be to confirm something in you or to correct you. And once they speak a word of correction to you in love, then you may say, ouch, but you know, I already knew that. But thank you, Lord, for caring about me enough to send someone to speak it to me. Can you hear this? All right. He uses other people. He uses circumstances. This is one we also have to be very cautious about. Circumstances. Because as Christians, we don't live under the circumstances, right? We live over the circumstances. When you're in the process of making a decision or doing something, there are times that you may get hammered by the enemy. He tries to discourage you, tries to bring confusion in the situation. And there's a period of time there when you just don't know what to do. And it looks like that every circumstance, you're trying to make up your mind about something to get God's guidance there, and it seems like that everything around you is coming against you. Then what do you have to discern? You have to discern, Lord, are you using certain things like this? And we don't believe he makes you sick to get word to you. We don't mean that he's there to condemn you or to hurt you. God's good. God's going to be blessing your life. But God can use difficult circumstances to get our attention. We do know that. So when you're determining what to do and which way to go, oftentimes we'll confront bad circumstances and difficulties, and we have to say, no, wait. God, is this something that you're saying or doing, or is this the devil trying to prevent me from following you? So it takes a process. Praying, thinking, look in the Word, look at the overall circumstances. Listen, if the things that are happening are from the Lord, they're going to be for your good. They're going to be to strengthen you and help you. They're going to take you to a place that's going to minister to others, a place that's going to be productive for you. They're going to take you to a place that where there's peace. If the circumstances are different, those circumstances are always going to line up with the truth of His Word. If circumstances are happening to you that are contrary to the Word, it's the enemy. It's the enemy that's coming against you. The Bible says that we have times when circumstances happen, and yet the circumstances are not obstacles to us, but they're opportunities. Even the process of getting ready for this last Vietnam trip, we had situations where people encountered all sorts of difficulties. And we, you know, as they were doing that, you're saying, well, Lord, what's going to happen? You know, why is this happening to them? Well, every situation that happened in that time, every attack of the enemy was defeated. Every need was met. Every person was healed. So all those things took place. So circumstances can sometimes be obstacles, or sometimes they can be warnings. Sometimes they can be from the enemy. Sometimes the enemy's trying to discourage us from what God really wants us to do, but sometimes God can use circumstances to redirect us. Circumstances should never be used alone. You should look at those circumstances in the light of what God is saying to you in His Word. Look at those circumstances in the light of the other primary tools that you have to assist you in hearing from the Lord. Never use circumstances alone as a basis for making a decision and seeking the will of the Lord. Then it's important to know that God will speak, guide us through dreams or visions of angels. This is another area where we have to use some caution. Do I believe that God still speaks today through dreams? Absolutely. Through visions? Absolutely. You know, difference is dreams when you sleep, visions is when you have a dream, you're awake. And so does God still speak through visions, dreams? Absolutely. It will not contradict the Word of God in any way. It will not add to, but it will specify some things that are based upon the Word of God. Dreams, visions were seen in the Old Testament and in the New Testament over and over again. So yes, they're still real today. In fact, I read accounts quite regularly about supernatural dreams and visions that many Muslims are having in Islamic countries. So, you know, these can even come to people that are unsaved. By the very grace of God, there are people praying for people to be born again and saved in these horrible situations, and God in His mercy is actually appearing. They're having a supernatural encounter with the Lord. We kind of look at that sometimes and say, well, Lord, you know, I'd really like, you know, it's wonderful that you do that if you love them, but Lord, you know, I wouldn't mind that either. Wouldn't decision-making be so much easier if it was, thus saith the Lord, this is what I want you to do? Wouldn't that be so much easier? Of course it would. That wouldn't require very much faith, would it? We need to learn to know he speaks to us. Wouldn't it be so much easier if you could see Him? A verbal voice, handwriting on the wall. Does He appear supernaturally in situations of people? Do angels appear and give guidance and instruction? Absolutely. I do believe that's true. I've had situations in my own life to where I know that there was an awareness, a vision, and even in a sense, the presence of an angelic being that gave some type of warning or guidance in my life. It doesn't happen very often, but it does still happen today, and there's nothing in the Scripture that contradicts that. And then finally, let's look at this when we're seeking the Lord's direction and guidance in something and really hearing from Him. What about open and shut doors? We talked a little bit about that concerning circumstances, but how many times in seeking, well, I just believe that if it's God, He'll open the door. And if it's not God's will, He'll shut it. Well, you know, this is true. This is true. The Lord sometimes will direct you and guide you as you're praying and seeking His will already, the opportunity opens up before you. And you know this is the way to go. If you know that's the way to go, you'll have peace about it. If you know that's the way to go, it's going to draw you closer in your relationship with God. If you know that's the way to go, then you know that God has some purpose in it for you. But there are times that you'll start in that direction, the door's open, and bang. It changes. I don't have the answer as to why that sometimes happens, other than the fact to say that there are times of testing and importance for us to discern situations and take initial steps. And listen, once God leads you to do something, He says, this is what I want you to do, don't stop listening. Don't stop listening. Because He may be taking, it's a journey. And He may be taking you on a journey, and it's important for you to keep a listening ear because there's a place for you to turn left or right. There's a turn that you need to make. He called you to take this step to get here. Don't stop listening because you may think your destination is there, but God has your destination there. Keep your ears, keep your heart open to Him. So sometimes you're going a particular way and bang, you're up against a wall or a shut door. It's a good time to say, God, what am I supposed to do now? People, this is a dangerous thing also, where people kind of use this like like magic. They try to use it like some type of gimmick that says, all right, Lord, you know, if so many people come in the room during this time, then you're going to be telling me that I need to do this. How many times have I heard people say, the next person that you bring to that room is going to be the one I marry? That's a horrible, that's a bad way to choose a mate. And God, if that's not what you want, that's not what you want me to do, then shut the door. Listen, if what you want to do is already disobedient, contrary to His word, and wrong and everything, the door's already shut. So if we're wanting to do something that we already know doesn't align with the word of God, then don't be banging at the door to get it open. There's a reason why it's shut. But always know that as you seek the Lord, He's going to make your path straight, and He's going to open the door for you. When He opens it, no man can shut it. Be careful, but sometimes we can look to those ways that the Lord leads. First, know, believe that you can hear the word of the Lord, that He speaks to you today. Secondly, learn and discern those voices. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, discerning the spirits. 1 John 4 says, learn to try or test the spirits. Everything you hear is not from the Lord. It takes time and practice to learn to discern, to know God's voice and respond to it. And the closer you stay in your walk and fellowship with the Lord, the better you can discern. A mother that spends so much time with her baby, with a child, knows that child's voice better than anyone else. The more time you spend in the presence of God and time with Him in prayer, time to fellowship, the more passionate your walk with Him, then the better equipped you will be to know whether it's His voice or not, to discern, to know whether it's Him. You know, the devil, Satan, masquerades as an angel of light, the Bible says. He's the father of lies, and he's the accuser. So there's always going to be what it looks like it's okay, it looks like it's right, but you need to discern. No, I don't really think this is from the Lord, because does it line up with the Word? Does it bring glory to God? Doesn't help me in my relationship with Him or with others, with the right people in my life? Need to know that God speaks to you, and then you need to learn how to discern better the voices that are speaking to you. And finally, when we do hear from the Lord, then we need to follow His lead. The Bible's quite clear the importance of not only hearing, but doing. You could hear someone teach the word and teach truths all the time, but what difference is it really going to make until you say, I believe it and I'm going to do it. I'm going to apply it in my life. The application in our lives makes all the difference in the world. Faith is an action word. And when you hear from the Lord and you begin to walk in faith, it's going to move you. It's going to take you somewhere. So always understand that once you've heard from the Lord, now it's important to do what He's told you to do. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, He said, whoever listens, hears my words, hears these words of mine, whoever hears them and does them, follows them, practices them, will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Hearing God's voice, receiving His guidance, can be a part of our normal lives every day. We need to learn to be still, because sometimes there's so many distractions and so many other voices going on, we just cannot hear. Learn to find a quiet place when you can. Learn to be still. Learn to let His peace come and dwell in you. When you learn to submit during that time and say, Lord, I just want Your will. I want Your way. I want Your timing in this situation. Stay close. Recognize the Lord is speaking to you. Psalm 32 verse 8 says, the Lord says, in New Living Translation, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and I will watch over you. And then a very familiar verse in Proverbs chapter 3, the two verses, verse 5 and 6. New Living Translation says, trust. And isn't that what it really boils down to? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take. The Message Bible paraphrase says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen to God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. And then in detail, in the Amplified Bible says, trust and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize Him, and He'll make your paths straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. In the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were able to walk with the Lord. They were able to hear clearly. There was perfect communion with their Creator. Because of sin and rebellion, that was broken. And that ability to walk in a way to clearly fellowship and hear from the Lord the way they had, that's gone. As a result of sin, death comes and separation comes. You know, there's in the Bible it says in Proverbs 14 that there is a way that seems right to a man, to a person, but the end of that is death or destruction. Back in the 1940s, man thought that the invention of the atomic bomb would end all wars. He thought. How many times have people thought certain things and they were wrong? Thought they were right, but they were wrong. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, gave His life, defeated the enemy, arose from the dead, He brought not only redemption for us, our sins can be forgiven through Christ when we receive Him as our Savior, but He also brought a restoration into our lives. He put us in the place now to where we can hear the Lord, where we can have communion with Him again, where we can know that it's His voice, we're His, and we can follow Him. What an awesome place to be. And might I say before we go that being able to hear that word clearly can be the difference between failure and success. It can be the difference between death and life. It can be the difference between bondage and freedom. It can be the difference between confusion and peace. It can be the difference between monotony and routine and productivity and fulfillment. Hearing the word of the Lord is extremely important. Extreme, and He said, I'm speaking, and we talked about all the different ways. I'm talking to you right now. You know, when you're talking with someone, they're not paying attention. Sometimes parents are in a situation, they're talking, they're trying to give discipline or sharing with their child, and it was to call them by name. Usually use their middle name also. But they call them by the name and said, I'm talking to you. I want you to know that your Heavenly Father today is talking to you. And never has it been more important than now for us to listen, discern, and follow what He's saying. I close out today by saying we are living in difficult and dangerous times. The world as we know it could change before this day is over. We need a word of the Lord for peace, for a sense of security, for joy, to guide us in how we're supposed to spend the rest of our lives. We need a word from the Lord to know what kind of preparations should we make for days that are ahead. What practical things should we do? How should my family prepare for what could will probably be some very difficult times in our country? What should the church be now? What should the church do now? What's your plans for my life? What do you really want for me to do? What's your will for my marriage? What's your will for my family? What's your will concerning where I go to school, where I work? What's your will for me? Where his will is for us to know him, and his will for us is to walk a life of faith with him. But let me tell you, in all these areas I've just spoken about, God is speaking. And when you seek to know, hear his voice and know his will, you will know it clearly. Then what do? Walk in it. Do it. I believe, I don't say this lightly, measured a lot of things this past week in making decisions. And I don't say this lightly because this was not my plan a few days ago. I wasn't even planning on being here. But this was not my plan as far as a teaching today. But I do know one thing that I'm absolutely convinced of. That this word today was the word for us today. And I don't know how it affected you or spoke to you, and I don't know who it might have been. In many ways, you just can say that, well, Lord, thank you. This is really something that helped me, something I need to hear. But isn't God good that he speaks to us? God's faithful. Would you stand with me?